Reading from the New International Version, NIV, reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52, which can also be found on the screen. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man.
Thank you, Michael. Well, if you've got a Bible, please leave it open there. Tonight, the talk, it's not going to be an epic saga. It's quite a tight 20 minutes. So how about I pray and then we'll get into it. But I sound like I'm booming up here. Is that how you sound? Anyway, hopefully that'll be sorted out soon and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you speak to us in it. Father, tonight as we kind of look at this kind of strange passage, Father, help us to see that Jesus is special. Father, help us not to be too familiar or complacent with Jesus, but help us to realize who he is. That is your son, and he came into the world to die on a cross to make us right with you. Father, help us to realize how amazing Jesus is. Help us not to be complacent with him. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just get the clicker. Now, in January next year, I'll have been in Townsville for 7 years. I'm not sure where that's gone, but to be honest with you, the first few years I was here, they were pretty hard. It was just so brown. It never rained. The landscape was so oppressive. I remember we would drive up Mount Stewart in the hope that it might sprinkle on us. We'd kind of drive up there and hope that the clouds would kind of somehow, just a little bit of rain, just kind of quench our parched souls as we kind of hung here in the desert. Anyway, you know what normally happened? The clouds would go around the dome, and off they would go, and we'd kind of just be like stuck here in Brownsville. Anyway, during that time, I returned home to where I grew up, which is on the Sunshine Coast. And when I got home, I was so amazed at how green the grass was. I grew up on the Sunshine Coast. I spent the first 18 years of my life there. I had never thought about the grass ever before. I'd kind of had to mow it several times, whippersnip it, but I just thought, who cares about grass? But when I went home and I saw this lush green grass, I was blown away. It was so amazing. My catch cry for Townsville in my first few years when I was here was Townsville, helping you to appreciate the rest of the world. It just kind of just helped me to kind of go home and go, wow, this grass is so green. But you know what? I'd grown up there. I was so familiar with it. It meant nothing to me. And so it took some time away in the desert to kind of come back and go, wow, this is really green, beautiful grass. I was too familiar with it when I was there to appreciate it. Now, I just need to confess that I do love Townsville. It's growing on me. Maybe like a parasite grows on you. It's growing on me. I do love Townsville. Not so much summer, but I do love it to kind of push through summer. Anyway, friends, I wonder if you have become too familiar with Jesus. Now, I don't think you need some time away from Jesus to kind of appreciate him, but maybe what you need at this time of year is some time away from the hustle and bustle of life. Maybe you need some time out to read the Bible and to pray, to reflect on how amazing Jesus is, so that you continue to live for him in all of your life. Well, today, tonight, as we dig into this kind of strange passage, we're going to see that Joseph and Mary, they've become too familiar with Jesus. They've forgotten who his real father is. And maybe, just maybe, you've become too familiar with Jesus as well. It's kind of like Jesus, yeah, whatever, I don't really care. Well, friends, have your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 2, because our first point tonight is that Jesus' parents have grown too familiar with him. Now, before we kind of dig in, it's important to know that some time has passed. Time has passed since Mary was pregnant. Time has passed since she was made pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Time's passed since the shepherds visited. Time's passed since Jesus was kind of taken to the temple and an old man and an old woman said some crazy things about him. It's been about 10 years since the wise men came to see Jesus and brought, like, you know, incense and myrrh and gold. It's been about 10 years since something major has happened. And so life has kind of continued on pretty normally, really. And maybe it's just kind of Mary and Joseph are thinking, life's kind of pretty normal now. Maybe they've gone pretty complacent with Jesus. Well, anyway, let's pick it up from verse 41. It says this. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. So here we find out that Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, every year they go to the festival in Jerusalem, the Passover. Now, the Passover was the time when God's people remembered the way that God rescued them out of Egypt, out of slavery in Egypt. Now, we're not sure if Jesus went with his parents every year to the festival. I'm inclined to think that he did. But we're told in verse 42 that when Jesus was 12, he certainly went up with his parents to Jerusalem. Now, it's important to know that age 12 back in the day was kind of like on the edge of adulthood. When you were 13 in Jesus' day, you were an adult. And so Jesus is kind of in this transition period. And you can kind of imagine that, you know, because he's about to become an adult, he's probably got some more independence than he had when he was younger. And everything kind of seems to be going according to plan. That is until it's time to leave. As Luke kind of recounts the story, he tells us in verse 43 that after the festival is over, everyone heads home, everyone except Jesus. Mary and Joseph, they go with the rest of the mob, potentially kind of traveling in kind of a large group, right? Because it was safer to do that. And they think that Jesus is somewhere in amongst the tribe. Now, you might have experienced that, you know, when you kind of go camping with close family friends, you all kind of become one big mob, and who knows where the kids are, but they're all kind of looking after each other. It's kind of like Lord of the Flies, the survival of the fittest, and the parents are kind of like, whatever, it's all good. You know, the strong ones will make it out. But remember, Jesus is on the edge of adulthood, and so he's probably kind of enjoying some extra independence. But it's not until after kind of the first day of travel that Joseph and Mary work out what's going on. You know, they've kind of finished the day, they've unpacked, they've set up their swag, there's a fire going, maybe some cheese and crackers, maybe a Forex, they've got the snags on the barbecue, they're going to have a feed. And you know what? They're kind of doing a head count. Oh, Jesus. Where is he? Oh, no. They kind of look around their relatives, it says in verse 44, and their friends, but they can't find him. And so what are they going to do? Well, they've got to go all the way back to Jerusalem to look for Jesus. Well, let's see where they find Jesus. Let's pick up the text again from verse 46. It says this. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So we find out that after 3 days, they find Jesus in the temple, asking questions, getting answers, giving answers. You know, it takes Joseph and Mary a day to kind of walk away from Jerusalem. It takes them a day to walk back. And on the third day, that's when they find Jesus. And where is he? Well, he's in the temple and he's asking questions. And verse 47 says that he's giving some amazing answers. Answers that everyone is blown away by. He's 12, he's on the edge of adulthood, and he's giving these answers that blow even the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. It blows them away. Friends, maybe Joseph and Mary have grown complacent with Jesus. Maybe they're too familiar with him. See, maybe before they left Jerusalem, they should have checked the temple because, you know, that's where he kind of likes to hang. And maybe when they came back, that's where they kind of should have went first, to the temple, because that's kind of where he likes to hang out with his father. Friends, as we kind of go on through this story, we will see that Joseph and Mary have forgotten who Jesus' real dad is. It's not Joseph, it's his father in heaven. Joseph and Mary have become too familiar. Now, on Christmas Day, I mentioned that my wife and I had our 20th wedding anniversary during the week. But you know what? Before we kind of got married, we obviously went out for a bit. We went out for 2 years. And before that, we kind of had this arrangement where we kind of have a permanent summer fling, right? So you could kind of go with other people during the year, but when you're on holidays, you'd go out together. Now, don't judge me. That's before I was a Christian. I can see kind of your faces are kind of a bit judgy there. But I wasn't, you know. I didn't know about Jesus really, so I wasn't really living that way. Anyway, I've known my wife Deb for about 28 years. And so while I still cherish her, it is easy to become complacent with her. It's easy to forget how special she is when kind of every morning I wake up and there she is, right in my face. Sometimes snoring, sometimes not. Mostly it's me snoring. But anyway, it is hard. Like, you get complacent. You get so familiar. Trying to keep reminding myself that Deb really is an amazing woman. If she's put up with me for 28 years, she is a special, gifted, unique person to do that. I don't think I could put up with myself for that long. It's amazing that she did that. Hopefully she continues to do it for more years into the future as well. Well, friends, in this strange passage, it's highly possible that Mary and Joseph have forgotten how special Jesus is. They haven't had a major reminder of who Jesus is, possibly for about 10 years, not one that we know about anyway. But because of that, they've grown complacent. They're treating Jesus like a normal kid. But Jesus is far from normal. And we get a taste of that with kind of Jesus staying behind at the temple. We get a taste of that with Jesus' answers at the temple. And we're going to see more of that as we continue through the passage. Jesus is going to remind Mary and Joseph of who he is, of who his real father is. Well, let's pick up the story again. Let's pick it up from verse 48. It says this. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." This conversation, it kind of goes down how you think it would. See, when they see Jesus, Mary's kind of quick to point out how she feels that Jesus has treated them. And you can kind of imagine Mary saying to Jesus, "You know what? Your father and me, we've been worried sick. When you get home, you're going to get a flogging." Anyway, that's what my parents would have said to me. And if Jesus was a normal kid, you know, Mary would have a point there, right? You know, he has run away. But Jesus is no normal teenager on the edge of adulthood. Jesus is actually the Son of God. Have a look at what it says in verse 49. This is what Jesus says. He says, "Why were you searching for me?" He asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Jesus is saying to Mary and Joseph, "Don't forget that I'm a special baby. Don't forget the Holy Spirit made you pregnant, Mary, and not Joseph. Don't forget who my true father is. Don't forget I had to be in his house. I have to be obedient to my father. Don't forget the special things that have been said about me." In the passage kind of leading up to this passage, Joseph and Mary take baby Jesus to the temple, and this old dude called Simeon says that salvation will come through Jesus. And this old lady called Anna says that Jesus will bring redemption to all of Jerusalem. He'll pay for their sin. Mary and Joseph have become too familiar with Jesus, and they don't get who he is. Not really. And verse 50 tells us clearly they don't understand. And in verse 51, they return home. And the text makes it clear that Jesus is obedient to his parents. And Mary kind of ponders all these things, treasures all of these things in her heart. And Jesus grows in wisdom and in stature. He grows in favor with God and with people. Mary and Joseph, they've become too familiar with Jesus. They don't get how special he is. But Jesus reminds them of who he is. Now, when I lived in Lismore a long time ago, I used to have a beer with one of my mates and the minister regularly at an Irish pub. So I'm talking about this guy, his name's Peter. That guy with the grey hair, his name's Steve. That's who I'm talking about in the picture. The rest of them are friends as well, but differently. Anyway, we used to go to the pub, the Irish pub. I used to love drinking Kilkenny. It's a great beer if you don't like Guinness. Anyway, I had a pretty good relationship with the minister, and I would say that we were friends. But the challenge came when I started to work at church as a trainee. I used to kind of use my pub relationship with the minister, and I'd sometimes kind of forget the relational dynamics that now he was actually my trainer and now my boss and not my friend at the pub. Anyway, one time we were at a training conference in Sydney. He was probably the keynote speaker. And during the seminar he was giving, there was a couple of us kind of staff sitting together, and we were kind of mumbling between ourselves. And he looked at me and said, "Simon, what are you guys talking about?" And I didn't hesitate at all to tell him what we were talking about. The girl next to me, her name was Catherine, that's her real name, she said to me that I should give Steve, our boss, a wedgie for being a nerd, because he was talking about all these books that he reads in his holidays. I blurted that out loud and everyone was laughing, but the team next to us, like the team of ministry people next to us, their leader was like, "You guys are out of control." I delighted in that. I was like, yes. Anyway, I moved on from that. But later on in life, I realized, I was like, oh. Later on, I had maybe a similar experience of my own. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that's what it's like to be like that. Yeah. Anyway, me and Steve, I've apologized to him. And we've moved on with our relationship. We're still friends, even Facebook friends, if that's legit. I don't know if that's legit or not. Anyway, I was reminded of who he is. Well, friends, Mary and Joseph, they've become too familiar with Jesus. They're failing to see who he really is, but Jesus is reminding them that he's the Son of God, that he's a forever king who's come into the world to rescue us from sin and death. But in their defense, Mary and Joseph, they don't know all the details at this point, do they? They don't really know how this story ends. That's why Mary kind of treasures all these things up in her heart. That's why she ponders them. But friends, we're a bit different to Joseph and Mary. We do know how this story ends. We do know where it's all headed. We know that at the end of Jesus' life and ministry, he will be in a garden outside of Jerusalem. And he'll say to his Father in heaven, "Not my will, but yours be done." And he'll head to Jerusalem for one last Passover festival. But only this time, he'll celebrate with his mates. But then the next day, he will actually become the Passover lamb. He will die. And it's his blood that will provide a safe place for us to be. See, Jesus is the king who will die for his people so that they can be forgiven and have hope. He's the king who restores our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Friends, have you forgotten how special Jesus is? Have you become too familiar with him? There's a story of Jesus kind of just like, oh, I've heard it all before. Don't really care. Well, friends, the question I really want to finish with tonight is, have you become too familiar with Jesus? Are you failing to see who he really is? That he's God's Son who died on a cross in your place? Are you failing to see that without Jesus, you have no hope whatsoever? Only Jesus gives you hope in this life. Well, friends, over this week, as you hopefully get a chance to have a break, have a rest, hopefully get a chance to pause and reflect. Can I encourage you to make sure you get into the scriptures? Get into the scriptures and be reminded of just how amazing Jesus is. There's a great section about Jesus in Colossians chapter 1. It's kind of in the Willows Weekly this week. In fact, there's great things about Jesus all throughout scripture because all of the Bible is about Jesus. All of the Bible points to him. Can I encourage you over the next few days to take some time out to read the Bible and to pray, to think about Jesus, to reflect on him, to ask God to help you to really appreciate him for all that he's done for you? And can I encourage you over this holiday time to keep gathering with God's people? It's great that you're here tonight. Keep doing that. And friends, one of the things I find really helpful that helps me to kind of think about Jesus is listening to good Christian music. What I mean by that is theologically sound and doesn't sound too bad. Those kind of songs really help me to keep trusting in Jesus, to delight in him, to love and serve him. Well, friends, let's pray that we'll delight in Jesus and not be complacent with him. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Father, help us not to be like blah, blah with him, but Father, help us to realize that Jesus is your son who came into the world to rescue us from sin and death and to give us hope. Father, help us to be excited about Jesus. Father, help us to think about how we can delight in Jesus in the year to come, how we can love and serve him with all of our life. And Father, we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.